It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. One thing that draws in many Donald Trump supporters, Trump's denunciation of political correctness. He says being PC prevents people from speaking the truth when it involves women or Muslims or people of color. There are instances when this happens, but railing against the PC police can also be just a way to indulge or excuse one's own prejudices. Personally, I tend to think we have a bigger problem in this country with things being falsely labeled PC than we do with actual destructive behavior that deserves the label. But let's talk about it. Tonight in the green space here at WNYC, Todd Zwillick from The Takeaway will host an event that explores political correctness as an issue that is sometimes real and sometimes, you might say, trumped up, and the implications for our country. So Todd joins me now. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Brian.
Along with Sally Cohn, CNN political commentator and columnist and progressive activist who will be one of the panelists tonight with Todd in the green space.
Hello.
Hi, Sally.
Hi.
So, Sally, when you hear someone say something is so PC, does it make you suspicious right away? Does it make you cringe?
I try to not cringe anytime anyone says anything that would seem ironic in response to that. But, you know, first of all, I have two positions on this. One is that we've had political correctness in this country for over 200 years. It's just only historically been applied to white men. So, you know, if you spoke wrong to a white man and you were a young black child or man, or if you were a white woman or a black woman who spoke, you know, what was considered inappropriately, you would be lynched or you would be beaten, and those were sanctioned acceptable crimes in our society at that time. So it's just now that that's being applied to others, that suddenly white men are being expected to treat others with a modicum of the respect and dignity that they've enforced violently against others, that suddenly it's a big problem.
So Todd, the origin though is from the Soviet era, right? That certain opinions actually were not allowed to be expressed. I know there was a published list at one point early in the Soviet era of things you couldn't say without censorship or even arrest.
Yeah, that's right. And in fact, you've done some of the great coverage, I think, recently on this history on your own show. There's the plug, Brian, but on your 30 Issues series, where you guys did explore the history of political correctness going back to the Soviet era. And I remember in that conversation and several times since, Brian, you've used the descriptor using political correctness unironically. Back in those days, political correctness wasn't a snarky, smirky, ironic phrase that makes some people cringe like it is now. It was a direct phrase. You could say something against the leader or against the government or certainly against the ideology and be deemed politically incorrect and marginalized for that, perhaps re-educated. That was advanced in Nazi Germany, where similar ideas were used on journalists. It's morphed and undergone several different iterations through the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. It's been with us the whole time. And I'm most interested today because there are so many ways to talk about political correctness. Almost everyone has an opinion on it, whether they've dig deep into what it really means. You can talk about it on campuses. You can talk about it with normative language. I'm most interested in how it's playing in 2016. I'm a political journalist, and sort of my way into this discussion is how Donald Trump has used the phrase political correctness as an avatar, really, sort of a buzz phrase for a whole list of cultural grievances that seem to be experienced by a lot of his most hardcore supporters. So you rarely see people get into a deep discussion of what political correctness means and how it stifles or enhances a conversation, but people certainly react to the phrase and it brings them to the rally, and that's important. And I think on the other side, just to say, on the progressive side too, on the liberal side, there is a huge debate on political correctness going on the left that you don't see as much. It's kind of hidden, I think largely because the fractures on the liberal side in this cycle are not as evident as they are in Republican land and on the conservative side, but there are a lot of liberals who are now clashing against the orthodoxy of political correctness. They believe in inclusion. They believe in inclusiveness. They believe in multiculturalism. They believe in taking people for what they are, not prejudging them. You know, they believe in all these values.
Yeah.
But there's a pushback, Brian, on political correctness and whether it prevents liberals from being honest about bad ideas. You know, sometimes that's a discussion about like radical Islam in liberal land. You know, why don't we confront more directly misogyny or apostasy, things like that? So it goes on both sides there.
And Sally, President Obama did feel the need to mention in a few commencement speeches this year that college students shouldn't refuse to have speakers on campus whose opinions they disagree with. They should engage with those speakers. He didn't use the words politically correct, mm-hmm. but we know what he was talking about. Why did the president, who's very sensitive to difference and to courtesy to all kinds of people, feel compelled to cite this publicly as a problem if it's not a problem?
Well, I don't think it's not a problem, Brian. I mean, first of all, the president is also known for his trying to be contrarian and sort of appeal to as many sides as he can on issues. And that's his job, I suppose. But, you know, look, I think, first of all, I think the protesters that have happened on campus, you know, it is everyone should have the right, and I've written about this, everyone should have the absolute right to speak about any views they want in any kind of public forum. 100% support. That's free speech. That's an American value, core concept of our democracy. At the same time, that doesn't mean everybody should say everything that they want to say. And that's the point that requires a little bit of nuance in our conversation right now. We're not talking, you can say whatever the heck you want to say about women, about black folks, about white people, about just say anything you want. But hopefully there's a set of things you don't want to say that we as a society have evolved past saying. And I don't think of that as, you know, some horrible atrocity of political correctness. I think of that as progress. It's a good thing that people don't want to say things that are deeply offensive in our society. The only other thing I'd add here is I would go a step further than Todd. I think that when Donald Trump evokes political correctness, he's kind of piggybacking on those campus arguments and more nuanced conversations. But really what he's doing is engaging in a pretty flagrant racial dog whistle that once upon a time when you had Nixon who couldn't, you know, talk directly against segregation and against integration, so he talked about busing. And you had Ronald Reagan who didn't want to demean poor black folks directly, so he attacked welfare moms and driving Cadillacs and all of that rhetoric. This is Donald Trump's dog whistle. It is very clearly a message to white people to say, it's not just about what you can say. You actually feel like you're being not only shut up, but shut out of this country. And this is the only way I can talk to you about it that's vaguely politically correct, that doesn't make you feel like you're being, that isn't blatantly offensive for middle Americans. Ironically enough, he can't say the more overt thing he wants to say because of the progress of political correctness.
If you think Mexicans are, quote, rapists and drug dealers and, oh, I'm sure some of them are nice people, then you're now empowered to say that.
Right, correct. But as more specifically to the Americans who I think would hear those things and say, nah, that's a little too far. But, you know, I want to be able to express disappointment or frustration or resentment about affirmative action. I want to be able to say that I feel like, our communities aren't safe and I can't say those things.
That should be okay to say, right?
Of course it's okay to say, right? But that's, again, the difference between what you can say and what you should say.
But you just mentioned things that are fairly issue-oriented, right? If somebody feels that their community is unsafe.
Oh, sorry. I mean, I was alluding to it more in a kind of racialized sense of I don't feel like, you know, it's not – I've talked to a lot of white voters who say their communities are safe, but they're worried about, the immigrants coming in who are Muslim, or they're worried about the Black Lives Matter activists who are, like, calling for violence in the streets and this sort of – fear-mongering baiting that Trump is playing to and engaging in. Again, the message is, we can't – it's no longer, thankfully, politically correct to just directly attack groups of people and their rights and equality and to say that I feel that when women and people of color and immigrants get more rights, I have less. Mm-hmm. And I'm angry and resentful about that. Thankfully, we can't say that. But what we can do is attack political correctness. And that's what's, I think, largely what's fueling this right now.
All right. I'm sure that that will set up even that idea. You could just say what you just said and you'll have a 90-minute event in the green space with a lot of reactions on all points of the spectrum around that. So, Todd, we got to go in a minute. Just tell us, since your event is focused on millennials and political correctness, do you think there tends to be a different relationship among millennials to this idea than among their parents?
Well, we're certainly going to find out, and that's part of the point of this event tonight. But there's no question that a large, Brian, a lot of the fuel, the engine for political correctness does come from campus debates, right? From what people read and hear on television and in newspapers about safe spaces and about campus debates about people being marginalized for saying a thing or for doing a thing. For entire – Nick Kristof wrote a fascinating piece in the New York Times a little while back talking about confession of intolerance in academia and on campus. That's mm-hmm. that's the engine of where a lot of young people are. I think they do experience it differently also because young people have not lived through probably, at least they don't remember, a lot of the 80s when PC kind of had its first kind of postmodern incarnation, and they certainly didn't live through the 60s when it wasn't a dirty word, right. when it was actually a criticism on the left to get more free speech and more debate. So they haven't lived through the longer history of this. I think a lot of millennials experience it through the campus experience, and it's now transitioning very starkly into the election experience, largely because of Donald Trump. So we're going to try to get to a lot of those issues tonight. And certainly, the bottom line for me, and I'm so glad to be doing this event with Sally and other people, I'm a fundamentalist. I'm a free speech fundamentalist. Mm-hmm. I hope that most journalists count themselves as free speech fundamentalists, even radicals. So when that idea clashes with other ideals that we all hopefully as Americans mm-hmm. Hold true, which is not only free expression, but fair play, fair treatment, inclusion, there are clashes there. It's in our politics. It's in our culture. And Brian, I hate to say it. I love to say it. Tonight in the green space, we're going to have a safe space. We're going to have a safe space, not against ideas, but for ideas. Nothing is going to be out of bounds, I hope.
With Todd Zwillick and Sally Cohn, who have been my guests, plus other panelists discussing political correctness in this election season, visit the green space, that's green with an E at the end, .org to find tickets, or wnyc.org/thegreenspace, or just go to the Takeaways Facebook page to find out more tonight at 7 o'clock at the green space here at WNYC. Todd and Sally, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come. Stay with us.